Welcome to I Run Radio. Coming up, from losing weight to taking on the marathon.
I think the first 5K that actually completed took me somewhere in the proximity of like 50, 55 minutes. So, I think when I finished it, my first thought was like, man, I did 5K.
Running Boston for the 9th year in a row.
I think it's the thrill of being in a new place, having all the support from the start to the finish of all the Bostonians and everyone from around the world helped with my running and keeping me going.
And despite Donald Trump's travel ban, a runner gets ready to fulfill his Boston dream.
On the Boston acceptance list or the runner's list, I was the only Iranian person. So basically, right now, I'm the only Iranian-Canadian person.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We are joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hey there, man.
This is it. Tomorrow is the Boston Marathon. We have been talking about this for months, and here we go. We're ready to race in Boston tomorrow. This will be my second time there. I've done it only once. And have you done it once or twice already?
Once.
Okay,
yeah,
so just so it's number two for both of us.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm ready to rewrite the record book.
Yeah. Well, in that case, we won't be seeing a lot of each other tomorrow.
my first one was almost a 4-hour race.
Okay.
I had I was so stressed out, and I was so tight, and I was so tired, and I was so all of these things that you do not want to be, and I was just all of them as a perfect, like, sampler platter of problems and just that I put upon myself, you know, and I've sworn since not to do again. So we'll see what happens. I've said that before and then done the exact same thing before, but on my word.
Yeah. Well, I think even running with me, you could get in under 4 hours. So you might get a Boston best tomorrow, and that'd be great. And look, you are totally free to run by yourself if you want to go faster. But if we run together, I will have a great time. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, hey,
I don't mean I don't mean a great finishing time. I just mean a great time, a great experience.
And vice versa. And I want to, you know, redefine what a personal best is just enjoying the day, enjoying the ride. And it's no matter who's running what, you know, whoever's listening, for all you, just how you win a race. I mean, come on, how are we going to win a race and just enjoy ourselves out there?
Yeah.
You know, be safe.
And the forecast doesn't look the greatest, but we'll work our way around that. And the last time I ran it, the only time I ran it, it was cold and rainy and there were still huge crowds. And it was still a great experience, still had a lot of fun. So we'll have ponchos, we'll have extra clothes, and we'll make the best of it no matter what. What do you remember from the last time you ran Boston? What stands out?
I tell you, one of the things I remember my first time running Boston, which was in 2012, was my daughter was just a baby, a little six-month-old. And we had her in the crib, and we put the crib in the closet. And we put her in the closet so Daddy could get his sweet beauty rest the night before the race. And then I couldn't sleep anyway. And then I had the guilt of, like, God, you put your kid in a closet, this little baby, this poor thing. What kind of monster are you?
Wow. That is, you know, I totally get that as a parent. I get that. But at the same time, no matter how much guilt you feel, you don't go and get the kid out of the closet, right? Because you could still fall asleep.
Yeah, I felt awful. I did it anyway, but
yeah,
I felt
exactly.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. There's so many memories that stand out for me and, you know, running obviously through what they call the scream tunnel at the middle of the race, where there were all these women. I'm drawing a blank now on the name of the
Wesley.
Yeah. Wesley College, where it's an all-girls school, and they all come out and cheer. Just remember running through places, you know, at the first half of the course where you're running through small-town America, you know, and there's guys standing on the back of pickup trucks and a lot of American flags, and you just think about how, especially on that early part of the course, this is, you know, the course has not really changed over the course of 120 years. And you're running in the footsteps of all these other people who have done the race. And that to me is just so powerful. It's the same route every single year with only one or two minor tweaks in over a century. It's incredible.
I mean, marathons are so wonderful like that, too. We've done a lot on this in the past, but, like, just to do the marathon is like a sightseeing tour.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of these cities, you know, 26 miles, that's a lot of the city. So, like, you know, I did the Jerusalem Marathon. I talk about it a lot, but, like, 26 miles in Jerusalem, it's like you're covering a lot of territory. That's not a huge city, so you really get to see a lot of stuff, and when your senses are so alive like that, it's really sort of exhilarating. So I know exactly what you mean to do that mental exercise of, like, who's stepped on these streets beforehand and, like, honoring the tradition.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
It is exciting. And we're going to talk to two other runners on the show today who are going to be running Boston tomorrow and have great stories to tell. One of them, Sarusha Tammy, didn't think he was going to be able to go to Boston because of Donald Trump's travel ban, but the good news is he's able to run it. He's got a Canadian passport now. So there's a happy ending to that story that we told you about going back a couple of months ago on the show. And we're going to check in with Harushin, and he's going to give us an update too on the cause that has now resulted from this. He's really working hard to draw attention to the travel ban and the impact it's having on other people as well and raise money. So we'll have an update on that. And we're also going to talk coming up to a runner who has lost a lot of weight over the last couple of years through running and through better lifestyle choices. So lots to talk about on the show today. Here we are, Ben. I'm very excited. Looking forward to running with you tomorrow. And we'll be sharing the experience of the Boston Marathon on next week's show. I'll see you later today and tomorrow at the start line.
Here we go, baby.
All right, Ben, thanks again. That is Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, the remarkable story of a runner who lost 130 pounds and ended up training for a marathon. Canada's longest-running marathon, the Scotiabank Calgary Marathon, is a challenging, competitive, and fun event with a race designed for everyone of any level. Register now at calgarymarathon.com and experience the vibrancy of Calgary on May 27th. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa, and you can listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. We're joined now by Ben Richard, who's training for the Ottawa Marathon. Just a few years ago, Ben was trying to lose some weight and run his first 5K. This is a very inspiring story. Ben, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So tell me a little bit about how you got into running, and then we'll talk about your ambitions for Ottawa. Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of an interesting story because I was extremely overweight, so I can never pinpoint the time that I actually thought that I needed to lose weight, but I usually trace it back to a time when I really wanted to get into some form of martial arts, and I think it was Taekwondo or something. And I was doing some investigation, and I noticed that they had listed that in order to take classes, every class started with like a 5 or a 10K run. And I thought to myself, this is ridiculous. I can't do this. So I thought, hey, well, you know what? Let's start with seeing if I can run, and if I can figure out this running thing, then maybe I'll look into the courses. So I started the Catch to 5K program, and then it just sort of stuck, and I continued from that point on.
Okay, and how difficult was that for you to get started? Because it's a challenge to get really that those first few weeks of running are sometimes very, very hard for people. You kind of have to get over the hump a little bit. So how challenging was it?
Absolutely. It was super tough. I think I don't think I could run more than 30 seconds. So it like following the programs that's listed online or some app I think I had downloaded, I was like, this is ridiculous. But, there was a couple of different things I had seen online where people said, you know what, if you really struggle with a week, repeat it. There's no saying that you have to, I think it was an 8-week program or a 10-week program. And they said, there's no reason it can't take you 12 weeks. So I think, when I really struggled with a week, I repeated it. And, the second time I did that week, I was like, this was a lot easier than the first time. And then, as the weeks went on, I think the first 5K I'd actually completed took me somewhere in the proximity of like 50, 55 minutes. So, I think when I finished it, my first thought was like, man, I did it. I did 5K. So, of course, I had a couple of friends who, you know, being guys, you know, guys would be guys. They always challenge you to step it up. And a couple of guys were saying, well, you need to, you know, it's not official until you're running an official 5K race. So,
right.
Yeah.
So did you do that?
Yeah. So I think I signed up for a 5K, the Good Life one, the Toronto Good Life one, 5K. And I went down there with my knees shivering and shaking and thinking, what am I doing? And it started, like, the funny thing about that was that race started at, I think, at noon, and like all the marathoners were coming off the finish line, and they had like these huge medals, and they just looked like super defeated and destroyed. And I'm like, who does this?
Right. So you did that first 5K, and how did that feel to you, having completed that?
It felt amazing. It felt absolutely amazing. I couldn't believe that I was actually the same person who wouldn't, you know, crawl out of bed for more than an hour to someone who was running, you know, 35 minutes.
And how did this all sort of change from just getting started and doing a bit of running because you wanted to do some martial arts to you becoming a runner and wanting to take on even longer distances than that?
It sort of became a way of life for me. I hate to say, like, I hate the term, like, I'm going to lose weight or I'm going to, because losing weight is one goal, but ultimately it's sort of a way of life that you realize your body was made to move. So I got to continue to challenge myself. So it sort of ignited a passion to, like, always one-up myself. Like, and so as I started doing 5Ks and on a regular basis, I'm like, I'm going to try, I should add, in order to reduce my 5K time, maybe I should be running 7Ks. And then I would run a little bit longer. And then I was like, you know what? 10K doesn't seem like it's that far out of the reach. We should do a 10K, and then let's run a 10K race. And then it's, you know, it sort of compounds from that point where it's kind of like, I really need to try this half marathon, and then now I'm going to do a marathon, and you know, now I've got to better my marathon time. And it's like, you know, I see people doing ultras. Yeah, that's something my body can't do. It has become sort of a way of life to always challenge myself, and it just feels every time you put yourself through that situation where you've really struggled and you've conquered it. It sort of really ignites something that you never knew you had before.
That's a great way of putting it. And so you've done a marathon now, is that
yes.
right? And you've also lost a lot of weight along the way, right?
Yeah, I lost. I was a little over three. I was about 330, and I at one point I got down to 195. So I lost 135 pounds.
Wow! Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you've described what running means to you now in your life. So tell me about that first marathon, and now you're getting ready to do another one, right?
I'm getting ready to do Ottawa, and it'll be my sixth marathon.
Okay, wow. Good for you.
Yeah. It's super exciting. The first one was, as someone who sort of, like, we did Around the Bay yesterday, so a whole group of Team Awesome members and some Team Awesome alumni, and we did Around the Bay yesterday, and it was kind of like going into that race is, you know, I've done 20 or so races, nerves are super calm, but that first one is always like, when it was always approaching a new distance, it is always like, what am I doing? What am I getting myself into? There's such a valley of unknown. It almost seems unaccomplishable or very intimidating. It's, you say my frame of mind or the things I say to myself now are completely different, where it's like, why did I sign up for this? What am I doing? And now it's like, how am I going to perform? Where am I going to get stuck at? You know what I mean? Like, there's a sense of, I know I can do this now. But it's like you're always looking for where do I need to where do I need to improve to get to that other point? So there's it's almost a sense of the arrogance, but the first one is you'll never have another first one. So it's kind of like, it's super nerve wracking. And, you know, when you hear about people hitting the wall at 30 kilometers and then you hit it and you're like, oh, this is that wall that people keep talking about. It's a dark place.
Yeah. So you did experience that?
My first, yes.
Yeah. And you got through it?
Got through it. I did. My first actual race was Detroit, and they have a section called Belle Isle where it's like you kind of run along this bridge, you get out to this and you get out this little island, and you do a circle around it. It's deep into the race, and it feels lonely.
Yeah.
And so you get off of it, and then you start to hit. Like as soon as you come off the island, you start to hit the crowd, and I think races like crowds really are an integral part of most races because they really can pull you through the end. So it's awesome.
And now you're doing Ottawa, and I know you're part of Team Awesome. You're promoting the event online on social media. You're an ambassador for the sport now. So what else do you have in your sights? What are your goals going forward? You talked about every time you do something, you start thinking about what's next. So what's going to be next?
I've sort of got a couple of things that I want to do. Like I think the first time you complete a marathon, you think to yourself, what is Boston ever achievable? Is Boston on my road plan? And it took me close to 5 hours to finish my first marathon, and like my age, and I have to shave a couple of hours off my qualifying time. So it's kind of like, I think there'll always be an eternal, there's a goal there that I need to reimagine and get there. Cause I think Boston is going to be, is on my radar. And, so in the meantime, I'm sort of doing all the other majors. I did Berlin last year. I did Chicago the year before that. I did New York. So I've only got, London, Tokyo, and then Boston. So I think I'm wrapping. I'm gonna tie it off with a nice Boston, and it's the final. So
very cool.
But I'm also super interested in triathlons. I think I'm in the next couple of years. I want to dip into, the pun intended, dip into the multi-sport and actually get into trying some cycling and some swimming. So I come from a good family of swimmers. I think I got an edge there that I need to take. I need to harvest that talent. And well, of course, my spouse. She's from Windsor. You may know Jen Dingle. You talked to her before.
Yes. Yeah.
So she's from the Windsor area, and we follow Lionel Sanders pretty frequently, and beautiful athletes, beautiful sport.
Yeah. Lionel, who set the record in the Ironman about a year or two ago. Yeah.
Yes.
Very
yes.
cool. Well, Ben, it's great to talk to you, and you've got this this enthusiasm, this infectious passion for the sport. It's so inspiring, and I applaud you for what you've done and wish you the best of luck in Ottawa and beyond. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Mark. I really appreciate it.
That's Ben Richard of Toronto. Coming up next, getting ready for a 9th consecutive Boston Marathon. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. 4 races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. There are so many great stories of Canadians running the Boston Marathon tomorrow. We're joined now by someone who's doing Boston for the 9th year in a row. Stephanie Gordon, welcome to iRun Radio.
Well, thank you for asking me.
And congratulations on making it to Boston for the 9th time. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty big deal.
Yeah. Tell me how this journey began for you. How did you end up running marathons and qualifying for Boston the first time around?
Well, I started quite a while ago, and I started with just running 5Ks for fun, probably back in the early 2000s. And I just did a whole year of 5Ks. And then the next year I decided, well, I'll try 10Ks. So I did a whole year of 10Ks, then a whole year of half marathons. And I thought, well, why don't I just try out for a marathon and see what happens?
Yeah, well, after you do a year of 5Ks, a year of 10Ks, and a year of half marathons, it's almost inevitable that that's the next step. You've set the pattern.
It helped get me to have a good base growing into the marathon training and stuff. So come to my first marathon was in 2008, and I ran the Toronto Waterfront for the first time. I had no idea what I was doing, no training for it, just went out and ran. And did close to 4 hours, so didn't really think too much of what I was doing then as to what I'm doing now. Then I ran Ottawa for the first time, and I ran with the Running Room and started their program and ended up qualifying for Boston on my second marathon.
That's pretty cool. And how did that feel? Were you aware that you were about to qualify for Boston?
In the training part, I knew I was probably very close to it, so I kind of pushed it a little more. And back then, they gave you the extra 60 seconds on your qualifying time because it's not as hard to get into at that time. So I qualified with a little help from my extra buffer of extra time.
Okay. And back then it was first come, first served, regardless of your time, not the cutoff that they have now they drop the slowest runners if they have too many registrants.
Exactly. And it also didn't fill up right away.
Right.
Sometimes it took until March for it to fill up sometimes.
Yeah. The good old days, Stephanie, the good old days. So what was that first Boston experience like for you?
That one was pretty overwhelming. I didn't really know the extreme of how the city shuts down for this big race and all the people that are there that know all about running. I was still new to the marathon running at that time. But they welcome you in.
Yeah, and
how
did it go? How did the race go?
It went actually really well. I joined a new group leading into running my first Boston with KTJ Fitness. And with their training, I managed to do a 20-minute PB, personal best, in the marathon.
In Boston.
In Boston, of all places.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
very hard to do.
Yeah, and obviously that got you back in, right? Right away.
It did, yes. And, yeah, I think just the thrill of being in a new place, having all the support from the start to the finish of all the Bostonians and everyone from around the world helped with my running and keeping me going.
And obviously you've been back every year since, right? You've run 9 in a row now.
9 in consecutive one. Yeah, I'm hoping to do one more next year to get that magic number 10.
Yeah. And what is it that keeps bringing you back to Boston?
I think it's just how much the city welcomes you in. It's its own little world of running. I don't know. I find going there, it's kind of like home for me. I find I always run well there, and I just feel at peace there with my running.
And have all of the, obviously, we can talk in a moment, you were there in 2013, obviously, when the bombings happened. But apart from that, have you had different experiences with Boston, or is it the familiar experience that you like so much about it?
No, there's different experiences every year. There's always new little parts of the race that I seem to have missed from another year that I catch the following year. The weather is always a big factor when you're there.
And tell me about your experience in 2013.
2013, well, I woke up and the race was like any other race for me. It was just, you go out and you run and you have the experience of going through all the little towns. And I finished And I didn't even know anything had happened until after we were waiting to meet up with our group and we heard the sound and we didn't really know what was going on. So we turned on the news and saw the devastation.
And then obviously 2014 was an emotional event, the first marathon after the bombings. I know I've talked to a lot of people who were there for that, and that was a big deal, wasn't it?
Yes, that changed a lot going into the city even. The people were very different. Like, it's just a different whole atmosphere. You were there more to support everybody as a runner as well as running the race. We got to see the ones that did not get to finish the race. We got to see them do their last mile of that race as well.
Yeah. So tell me about this group that you run with, because I've talked to other runners from the group before, and it really is a strong group that really supports each other here in suburban Ottawa.
Yes, I'm with a group. It's actually in Barrhaven, and it's called K2J Fitness. So the postal code K2J is really from there. We always we meet on Thursdays for a track workout, and we just always seem to help each other while we're running our laps and stuff. We encourage all the ones who are maybe faster than us. We encourage them as well, but we also encourage those who are up and coming. And we are almost like a whole other family there as well. It's kind of our second home.
And how many from that group are going to be in Boston?
I believe there's about 10 of us going this year to Boston to run again.
What other goals do you have beyond Boston? Are there other marathons you want to do?
Well, yes, there's always more. I'm doing a new one this year in the fall. It's called the Steamtail Marathon in Scranton, and it's along the train track bed along there. So that's one. I just want to kind of see where else I can go, or maybe get into some more cycling, triathlon, maybe one day.
What is it that you get out of running?
I have a lot of stress relief from it. It really helps with my busy day at school. I work at the school board. So it's a nice way for me to just kind of go and just let it all go. And I don't know, I just feel good with myself as well. And I feel I can help others with that too.
Well, Stephanie, great to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, and good luck in the Boston Marathon.
Thank you very much.
That's Stephanie Gordon of Ottawa. Coming up next, the remarkable story of a runner who thought he wouldn't get to Boston because of Donald Trump's travel ban. We're going to share some good news with you just ahead. Canada's longest-running marathon, the Scotiabank Calgary Marathon, is a challenging, competitive, and fun event with a race designed for everyone of any level. Register now at calgarymarathon.com and experience the vibrancy of Calgary on May 27th. The last time we chatted with Sarush Atami, he wasn't sure he would be able to run the Boston Marathon tomorrow. Sarush lives in Toronto, and he qualified for Boston, but he was born in Iran. And shortly after he qualified, U.S. President Donald Trump imposed a travel ban that prevented Sarush from entering the United States. He and another runner started a campaign to raise awareness about the impact of the travel ban, not just on him, but on others as well. And we have some good news to share. Sarush will now be able to run the Boston Marathon tomorrow. Sarush, it is great to talk to you again. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your radio show again.
And this is exciting because tomorrow, Sarush, you are going to be running the Boston Marathon. This was the dream you had, and it is going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. It's like what I was hoping to do, but it seemed to be impossible or close to impossible. But like, I can't believe that I'm going to run the race tomorrow.
All right. So let's talk about what's happened since we last spoke in February, because at that time you had qualified for Boston, but because of Donald Trump's travel ban and the fact that you didn't have a Canadian passport, your passport was an Iranian passport, right?
Yep.
So because of that, and because Iran is one of the countries on this list of banned this travel ban list, you basically at that time you were worried you were not going to be able to get into the United States.
Yeah, exactly. When we were talking, because I only had an Iranian citizenship, I was not able to get visa to go to United States. So basically, I was not able to go to Boston for Boston Marathon. But I think 1 week or two after that, I got I passed my citizenship test, and then I received an invitation for the oath ceremony on beginning of March, and I received my Canadian citizenship, which is a privilege, and I'm so proud. And then after that, I applied for Canadian passport, and I received the passport a couple of weeks ago. And then when I received the passport, I realized that everything is set. I was able to book the flight and book the place, and I knew that at that time I am going to make it. So
how do you feel about that? You're actually going to get to do the Boston Marathon, and on top of that, you're now a Canadian citizen. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege. You know, Mark, the day I moved to Canada, I couldn't imagine that citizenship ceremony. Because everyone in the citizenship office, they knew about my race, even the judge, before I arrived. And even those guys at the citizenship office, they were supporting me. Even the judge, he was so happy to see that. So it was to put it simple, I couldn't imagine that citizenship ceremony.
Yeah.
And the support I got over the last couple of months, since mid-December when I started to tell my story, the support I received was amazing. It's been amazing. And so I'm so proud that I'm part of the Canadian nation, and I hope I can be a person who has I will be a responsible person in this society.
I'm sure you will.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy for that. And then on top of that, I was the only on the Boston acceptance list or the runners list. I was the only Iranian person. So basically, right now I'm the only Iranian Canadian person. So
wow,
I'm gonna be the only Canadian Iranian runner on Boston tomorrow. Oh, so
incredible! What does it mean to you? Is it there are so many different stories at a marathon like Boston. People who have traveled long distances, people who have had long journeys just to get into the race, people who have different reasons for being there. So for you personally, what will it mean to be able to run the Boston Marathon?
You know, for me, this is I should be honest with you. I have a goal, I would like to meet my target goal for tomorrow's run. But, you know, for me, this race is special. It's like celebration for me. When I moved to Canada, I wasn't a long distance runner. I might be able to run 6-7 Ks and I would do it, but I couldn't imagine that I can do something like this. And being able to run 42K, and on top of that, being able to run 42K at Boston Marathon, that's something different. So I'm going to celebrate tomorrow this race. And
as you should.
And for me, I'm just happy to be here. I'm excited, a bit nervous, as every other runner is nervous, but I'm excited. So, And I know, like, I know the amount of support and, like, how, like, what does Boston mean? What does Boston Marathon mean to the people here in Boston? I know that it's like, it's part of their history. It's part of their community. So I'm happy that I'm here with them, and I'm happy that I can celebrate with everyone.
Now, you, your story became about more than just you getting to Boston, and you worked with some of the other people that you run with, and you created something called Band on the Run, and Band being B-A-N-N-E-D, to really draw attention to Donald Trump's travel ban, and to talk about some of the people who are affected by it beyond just yourself. Because obviously this has a huge impact on other people as well, people who are going to or trying to get to the United States for reasons other than the Boston Marathon. You've already raised quite a lot of money towards that goal. So tell us a little bit about how that evolved from the group of runners that you run with, including Daniel Sellers, and where it's gone since the last time we talked.
My story that I might not be able to go to U.S. because of the travel ban inspired Daniel and I to talk about the travel ban and how travel ban negatively impacts lots of individual people. And we think this is not fair and it's a discriminatory policy. Because this travel ban only reflects U.S. President Donald Trump xenophobia. And like, it's like for me, like discriminating people because of the place of the birth, that doesn't make sense. And I think this is not fair. And I would say that it doesn't, like, I think it does, like, just, discriminating people based on the place of birth or religion, it doesn't help U.S. national security, in my eyes.
Yeah.
So we started to create this campaign that, and the goal was, the goal of the campaign is not to help me, was not to help me, and it never helped me. The goal of the campaign was to talk about the travel ban and how travel ban can impact people and cause lots of issues for you, for international students studying in U.S., for families that being fall apart, and all these individuals. So, like, we wanted to give voice to all of these people. And my issue was, like, I think my issue was a small issue comparing to other people's issue. Like, if someone miss work opportunity in U.S. or even like living in Canada and not being able to go to U.S. because of the travel ban, and he or she has to go to U.S. because of their work, that's something which is like, it's, I don't feel good about it. So we created this campaign, Band on the Run, as you said, B-A-N-N-E-D on the Run. And we, our goal was to increase awareness and also to raise money for two U.S. NGOs that are actively fighting against travel ban. One of them is Muslim Advocates, and the other one is International Refugee Assistance Project. These two are actively fighting against travel ban on the individual cases and on a broader range as well. And we just wanted to help them and support them to keep them working on what they are doing. Hopefully one day, like, they will be able to remove the travel ban to the court. Anyway, so far, we planned like a couple of, like, we planned, actually, we had two fundraising events. The first one, we started, like, we did our longest run of the season. We started from High Park in Toronto, and we did our 37K together with about 50 runners. And also, like, the, you can find the story on CBC. And also, last Saturday, we arranged, like, fundraising yoga. So, again, we had a big number of participants for restorative yoga, like race preparation and relaxation. So far, we raised about 5,600 U.S.
Wow, good for you.
Organizations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is great.
And, yeah, and we are still working on the campaign as well.
Okay.
But I'm happy, especially like in Canada, many people, they helped our story, and part of it because of you guys at IRON, and I thank you, and also I thank you for the help, for the radio, and like many people heard, especially in running community, many people heard our story. And we appreciate.
Well, it's a very powerful story, and I'm glad we've been able to share it. And I'm glad it has a happy ending, Sarush. And I'm thrilled for you that you're going to be running Boston tomorrow. I wish you the best of luck in the race, and I congratulate you on what you've done to raise awareness about this issue as well. So enjoy the race tomorrow, and we will keep helping you get the word out about this very important cause. Thanks for your time, Sarush.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you and also Ben Kaplan, both of you guys. You helped me a lot.
Thank you. It's no trouble at all. Thanks, Sarush. Sarush Atami, who will be running Boston tomorrow. Coming up on next week's show, Ben Kaplan and I will talk about our Boston experience, and we'll share the stories of some of the other runners as well. I hope you can join us then. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.